Happy New Year! I'm Sally Swift. I'm the managing producer of The Splendid Table. It's a big year for us. In case you haven't heard, we're starting out 2018 with our new host firmly in place, Francis Lamb. He'll be here next week, but in the meantime, this is a great chance for me to brag on him a little bit. He is one of the most ambitious, respected, and talented people working in food today, and we are thrilled to have him with us. He's an award-winning writer. He wrote a column for the New York Times Magazine. He was a regular judge on Top Chef Masters. He's an editor at Clarkson Potter, which is one of the premier publishers of cookbooks in the world. And he graduated first in his class from the Culinary Institute of America. Yeah, he's a bit of an overachiever. But more importantly, he is wonderful. He is curious and smart as a whip. He loves to eat and is exceedingly kind and generous. He has an especially well-tuned eye and ear for the untold story. In fact, he's devoted much of his writing career to telling the stories of people who don't often get their stories told, like this one you're going to hear next. A few years ago, Francis brought us the story of a modern-day street vendor in San Francisco. Her name is Azalina Yusope. She's a Malaysian mamak, meaning she's a Tamil Muslim, and at birth, her future was sealed. If you're a mamak in Malaysia, you will most likely become a street vendor, because mamaks sell food, period. She would have been the fifth generation of vendors in her family, but she fought her way out. She became a pastry chef, and then something curious happened. All these miles away from her home, where she could be anything she wanted to be, she found herself back with the food of her past. Here's Francis with Azalina.
Azalina, it's so nice to have you here.
Thank you so much.
So I think a lot of people look at food vendors and street carts and food trucks and all that as this, well, a lot of people see it as a sort of a trendy thing, or they see it as a very transient thing. You know, people come and it's like the one job they can get, and so they work at it for a few years until they can get out of it. But you come from older stuff than that. You come from a family that has been street vendors for four generations before you in Malaysia. What was it like growing up in a family like that?
Well, I despise my childhood. I did not want to be a fifth generation of street vendor. Just growing up in Malaysia, as much as it's a taboo, we do practice caste system where it says in your birth certificates what ethnicity you are and what community you come from. So you're limited to things that you can do even though you have high potential. You know, we grew up in a harsh environment that's it's just hardships and poverty, and you know, we get make fun of. There's a lot of slur being thrown on at us, and that's something that I didn't want to, and trying to get away as much as possible from it. So I left Malaysia when I was 15 to pursue something else. I wanted to be a lawyer or doctor or teacher. Those are the high well-regarded jobs in Malaysia at that time. But with no money and no experience and no contacts and no network, I ended up going to Singapore and did an apprentice for pastry. After that, I left Malaysia and travel and work in six different countries before I ended up in the United States. That is when things just went spiral down. As a person, I feel like I have lost the identity of myself because I was living in a very superficial personality. I was just trying to be something else, which I was not. So the food that I grew up eating somehow came back to me and brought me back to the person that I was. And that was about 3.5 years ago. Just looking around, there was no mamak-style street food in San Francisco, and I decided to just dive in and see what will happen from there, because the food that I grew up eating kind of make me feel as a whole, as a person, and a better understanding who I am. And I somehow from there had embraced the culture that I so don't want to be in. And now all I wanted to do is just talk about mamak food, mamak people, and who we are, and why I'm doing what I'm doing, and all these great four generations before me, all this fantastic thing that they have done that had impact on the food society in Malaysia, especially my dad. He's been such a tremendous impact in the food culture in Malaysia for what he was doing. That's exactly where I'm standing right now. I mean, I'm trying to kind of do the same thing that the four generations before me have done. And I feel like I'm doing it kind of on the right tracks. It's growing one step at a time.
It's so interesting that you talked about really wanting to leave this culture, and then when you did, feeling estranged from it and feeling like, oh, it was the food that could bring it back to you and maybe help you see it in a new way. Do you see where you came from differently now?
Absolutely. I see where I came from in a very different perspective right now. I decided just to sell food and to use food that I grew up eating and the culture I grew up eating as a channel. And hopefully it will give some light to mama people. You know, there's some of them that successfully gotten away rebelliously like me. But the people like my brother and my cousins, they're still there. They're stuck. They can't do much about it. They either work in a factory or they sweep or they sell food on the street. But I'm lucky enough that I'm here in San Francisco and doing what I'm doing. It's a mecca of food culture here. So that's what I'm trying to take. I'm not looking at the negativity. I'm looking at the positivity that I have grown up into. You know, our culture is so amazing. Our weddings still have 10,000 people in one room and celebrating and blessing everybody. And you cook for 7 days and you have marriage for 7 days. And you just the food of and the ingredients and how loud we talk to each other. People always think we're fighting, but we're not fighting. That's just the way we talk to each other. and then coming from a spice-rooted family, everybody come to us if they need advice of how using spices, how to harvest them, and so forth. So we're basically the advisor for food culture in Malaysia. And that's so amazing that I did not see it when I was growing up. All I see is just the poverty that we have.
Yeah. But here in the United States, it seems like you really, really are making the most of the opportunity you have here. Can you tell me a little bit about your typical day? What's a typical day like for Azalina?
Well, I spend a lot of time in the kitchen. I get up at 2, I get to work by 3, and I start getting everything ready before my staff come at 7 o'clock. So by that time they come, I'm already cooking so many things that takes a really, really long time to make. By the time they come, I'm still there in the kitchen and I'll do all my deliveries. I love to meet the buyers that have built partnership with us just to see how things are. And then in between, I'm dropping my children off at school and I come back again. And if we have high profile events or catering events, I'm taking care of that. I'm still sending emails in the meantime. And usually my day, I don't leave my kitchen until 10:30, 11 o'clock. And by the time I get home, that's when I'm checking emails, doing invoices. And that's a very typical day for me.
Yeah.
And I love it. It's so important that I still feel in love with what I do. It's just been 3.5 years. I didn't grow up making mama street food. It's just here, the last 3.5 years. Trying to figure out how to make this Malaysian food just almost the same as the way I have eaten them in Malaysia.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Azalina. It's been great to talk with you.
Nice talking to you, Francis.
That was Azalina Yusope with Francis Lam, our fearless leader. Azalina is owner of Azalina's in San Francisco. She left us with a recipe for her Malaysian open-faced nachos. Find it, splendidtable.org.